And answer this question. I have a short quiz for you. How many times in the gospel reading today did Jesus say, "Peace be with you"? Did you catch it? At least twice? Paige has it. Three. Yes, that's exactly correct. Excellent. Very good. So, since in this shorter reading he said, "Peace be with you" three times, I thought that could be somewhat important for us this morning. And he's starting out his appearances with the resurrection by saying, "Peace be with you" that many times. I thought that it would be very helpful to us to start looking at what it is to be walking in God's peace, and then what it is for us to be instruments of peace, which we pray for every week, and what it is for St. Francis to be a house of peace, which would be our position in the community. And that's what we're going to be doing. Do I need to keep going, Larry?
Yeah.
You're ready. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Keep right. Here I was making it up as I go along, and you. Right. No. So this will be. Where does this go? Okay. This is a very interesting video that I think you're really going to enjoy.
Exciting scientific findings of the past half century has been the discovery of widespread trophic cascades. A trophic cascade is an ecological process which starts at the top of the food chain and tumbles all the way down to the bottom. And the classic example is what happened in the Yellowstone National Park in the United States when wolves were reintroduced in 1995. Now, we all know that wolves kill various species of animals, but perhaps we're slightly less aware that they give life to many others. Before the wolves turned up, they'd been absent for 70 years, but the numbers of deer, because there was nothing to hunt them, had built up and built up in the Yellowstone Park, and despite efforts by humans to control them, they'd managed to reduce much of the vegetation there to almost nothing. They'd just grazed it away. But as soon as the wolves arrived, even though they were few in number, they started to have the most remarkable effects. First, of course, they killed some of the deer, but that wasn't the major thing. Much more significantly, they radically changed the behavior of the deer. The deer started avoiding certain parts of the park, the places where they could be trapped most easily, particularly the valleys and the gorges. And immediately those places started to regenerate. In some areas, the height of the trees quintupled in just 6 years. Bare valley sides quickly became forests of aspen and willow and cottonwood. And as soon as that happened, the birds started moving. The number of songbirds and migratory birds started to increase greatly. The number of beavers started to increase because beavers like to eat the trees. And beavers, like wolves, are ecosystem engineers. They create niches for other species. And the dams they built in the rivers provided habitats for otters and muskrats and ducks and fish and reptiles and amphibians. The wolves killed coyotes. And as a result of that, the number of rabbits and mice began to rise, which meant more hawks, more weasels, more foxes, more badgers. Ravens and bald eagles came down to feed on the carrion that the wolves had left. Bears fed on it too, and their population began to rise as well, partly also because there were more berries growing on the regenerating shrubs. And the bears reinforced the impact of the wolves by killing some of the calves of the deer. But here's where it gets really interesting. The wolves changed behavior of the rivers. They began to meander less. There was less erosion, the channels narrowed, more pools formed, more riffle sections, all of which were great for wildlife habitats, the rivers changed in response to the wolves. And the reason was that the regenerating forests stabilized the banks so that they collapsed less often, so that the rivers became more fixed in their course. Similarly, by driving the deer out of some places and the vegetation recovering on the valley sides, there was less soil erosion because the vegetation stabilized that as well. So the wolves, small in number, transformed not just the ecosystem of the Yellowstone National Park, this huge area of land, but also its physical geography.
That's a fascinating chronicle of what happens. One change and the entire ecosystem is restored to what it was meant to be and makes a place for all of the life that was meant to be there. And now you're looking at me asking, and what does that have to do with us here at St. Francis this morning? And what I want to suggest to you is this, that the river of God, as pictured in different places in Scripture, flows through the community, not just the church, but flows through the community. One change on our part will cause the river of God to flow to where it is meant to flow, and the life that God desires in this community to start bursting forth in the way that God created this community in the first place to be. Everything that God desires would be restored by that one change that we would make. Now, if you come next week, I'll tell you what it is. No, all right. I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry. I just couldn't do it. The one change is this, that we begin to embrace and operate in our base gifting. The base gifting. Remember, we've spent all Lent looking at that. Each and every one of us has a base gift with which we were created. And that base gift is either an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. When a church fellowship begins to recognize how important that is, and each member is able to identify and flow with the base gifting they were created with, and we weave that together, there is a powerful ministry that is released from that dynamic. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, that is extremely important for us today, this Sunday after Easter, the second Sunday of Easter, because we saw that Jesus said three times in this, within a week, peace be with you. The second time he said it, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. It is the sending, which is the river. We get into the river as we are sent from the church into the community. Now, one of the reasons that we miss that is because we kind of think, well, who's sent? When I was ordained, a priest, Bishop Ogilby, Bishop Lyman Ogilby, ordained me, and he gave me a Bible, which you do, you know, when you get ordained, they give you a Bible and say, you know, don't forget about this. There you go. And inside, he wrote, peace be with you, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Well, that was very significant to me, of course, and many people would look at that, or I would share that with them, and they would think, yes, absolutely, clergy are sent, and the members are not. That's what that means. Some of you are thinking that right now, at this moment. However, what I want to point out is the whole church is sent. In fact, that's one of the things we say we believe every Sunday. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Apostolic means the church is sent. It's the one change of us embracing, walking in, growing in, and encouraging one another in those base gifts, which releases the ministry that will then flow throughout the community. In other words, we will be an apostolic church when everyone who has a pastoral gift is growing in it. We'll be an apostolic church when everyone who has an evangelistic gift is growing in it, when everyone who has a teaching gift is growing in it. Right, I wasn't going to show you this, but now I thought I am going to do this. These are the five gifts. The thumb represents the apostolic gift, and only the thumb touches the other four. These four cannot touch all the others, only the thumb. It's the apostolic that touches all the other gifts. So it's the apostolic environment out of which all the gifts prosper, all the gifts flow together, and all the gifts equip us to do what God desires in the community. So from that, we flow into the community, touching the places that are the lowest, because that's where the water flows, to the lowest part, and builds those places up, brings the life of God into those places. That's what will happen with us. And some of you, I know, are already beginning to get a picture of what the lowest place, if you will, if you don't mind that analogy, the lowest place around you is, in one way or another. And for one, it'll be something. For another, it'll be something else. And together, we become equipped to flow to that place so the life of God can come with us. That's what it is to be sent as Jesus was sent. That's what it is to have his peace. How do you know you have the peace of Jesus? How do you know you're living in his peace? You're sent. If you know you're sent, you have his peace. If you think you're sent, you have his peace. If you're kind of wondering if you're sent, but you don't know where to go, you have his peace. Any connection you have to being sent comes out of the peace that he's given you. It is the answer to the prayer we pray every Sunday. Make us instruments of your peace. How do you know that prayer is being answered? There's something going on with you in which you feel you're sent. Even if you don't know what it is, or where, or to who yet, even if it changes over time, the touch of Jesus and the answer to that prayer is being sent. We are sent by making that one change, embracing and encouraging one another in our base gifting. See, this is a slight difference between the New Testament picture and our picture, because we tend to think of spiritual gifts as those capacities which help the church to do better, meaning get more people, get more money, and do more things. And the picture of the gifts, particularly these five, are people. It's not that you have an apostolic gift and when you choose to use it, then the church benefits from it. You are the apostle, or you are the prophet, or you are the evangelist, or you are the pastor, or you are the teacher, and you are the gift to the church. And it's in relating to one another as we do so beautifully in this fellowship that the ministry is born and released into the rest of the community. Okay, so as promised, a little bit unusual to have a video with wolves and so forth and Yellowstone Park coming back to life. And I hope I made that connection strongly enough for you. And a little bit unusual also for me to, well, not for me to say it, you're probably getting used to it, but the idea is a little bit unusual. The whole church is sent and not just the ministers. Because you're the ministers anyway. It's not just the clergy. Remember, the church is not the ministers do the ministry and the congregation does the congregating. It's not that. Another formula is, I love saying that. Another formula is this. Many people believe the church is a priest plus a liturgy plus a building equals church. Some of you secretly think that, don't you? What I want to suggest to you is that faith plus action plus community equals church. A priest presiding at a liturgy at the sacred place of a fellowship is a part of, a subset of, faith plus community plus action being church. It's not faith plus community plus action takes the place of priest plus liturgy plus building. It's that priest, liturgy, building is a part of that bigger picture of the church. Now that is a profound shift. And we're on that path. And as we make that shift and go in that direction, what you'll begin to see, if you haven't already, which I hope you have, is not that my goal is to give you new radical ideas that you can try and hope will work. I want to change the culture so that the ideas that you and I have already had will actually work. They'll bear fruit, not shoot up for a little bit and then die out, but bear eternal, everlasting fruit from this point on. I don't know if you had this experience like I've had. About a few years back, I had a IBM laptop. You know, it was kind of square and all that, and didn't have a lot of memory in it. And I tried to download Google Earth onto it, and every time I did, it froze up. It froze up because of the operating system. Some of the things we and many, many other churches in our country have tried to download onto its operating system have caused it to freeze up. If we change the operating system by recognizing our base gifts and equipping each other for the work of ministry, what we download onto it will not freeze up the system, but will actually work the way it's supposed to work and bear the fruit it's supposed to bear. For those who recognize it, GUI, G-U-I. Yeah, that was what Steve Jobs did. He called his system GUI. Well, okay, that's for some other unusual time, not this unusual time. You have in the bulletin a single sheet insertion. It says base gift survey. So I want to prepare you for next week, and what we're going to do something a little more unusual, and we're going to take the sermon time to begin encouraging one another. I counted up the Sundays that you've actually heard me since arriving, and today is number 54. It's been 54 times it's been you and me. So one time with each other, I think we might get somewhere. That'd be great. So on this sheet, you have what to do. Please choose at least one of these methods to uncover your base gift. And there's two online surveys. They're free. And one is from 3D Movements.
marvelous ministry, absolutely excellent. And there is the link that you can go to that online survey. It's the one I like the best. It's the most extensive. It'll calculate the results for you, and it'll come out where you are the strongest, and that would be your base gift. If that doesn't work for you, just Google 3D Movements Online Free Gift Survey, something like that, and you'll get to it. The second one is from J.R. Woodward, and it is an online survey, but a slightly different style, which you may prefer, or you just, you know, close your eyes and pick one. It doesn't matter. And there you'll see the link right there. Type that in. You'll get to that. Follow these brief instructions that I put there, and you'll find something there too. Now, if you just don't want to go online, you don't like your computer, you're a little rebellious anyway, whatever the case may be, that you just don't want to do it that way, I have some other questions here that I took from J.R. Woodward, and you can talk to people. You can answer these for yourself. What do I enjoy doing? Where am I fruitful? What do others tell me I do well? Think about that and start putting the answers down. And then you might ask somebody that knows you well who would be open with you. When I'm enjoying myself, what do you notice that I'm doing? Or where do you think I'm fruitful when I'm doing something? Have you noticed other people telling me that I do something well? And that will start opening the door to what your base gifting is. Then next week, if you would come in with that, during the sermon time, we're going to take a few minutes. It'll be brief, in which we already have the facilitators for the group set up. You will gather in the groups of your base gifting and start discussing just a little further what that is and what that's like and how that works in your life, so you can hold each other up and support each other in that. And then for those who weren't with us or here for the first time next week, or for whatever reason, just aren't ready to go into one of those groups, there's another group which it'll just be a brief introduction to this entire idea. In fact, with the chart is not priest plus liturgy plus building equals church, but faith plus community plus action equals church. And then we'll unpack them and try to explain what all the rest of the groups are doing. And we'll spend the sermon time doing that, then go to the Lord's table, so forth. Okay, do you follow how we're gonna go with that? Okay, you'll have a better handle next week. Down the road, we'll continue to unpack that and then see how those five giftings work together, so that you are equipped for what you were created to do and to be. That's where we're going with that. We won't have small groups every week or videos every week or anything like that, but we'll just start moving in that direction. What I am extremely interested in is taking that step next week and then seeing what you see. However you can get that to me would be great. Understanding what you understand, seeing what you saw of God, so that it's from the Spirit of God that these things are raising up, and not from my seminary notes or anything like that. It's not for me to impose on you a real narrow direction. It's so that all of us together can look at what Jesus has given us and share that, and then start growing in Him every step of the way. Okay? I'll take that as a yes. All right. Would you please stand?